water and of the Spirit. If so, you have something to celebrate about this morning. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Bless His name. Amen, amen, amen. Once again, welcome to the house of the Lord. Happy Father's Day. And we, with our programs, we have taken up quite a bit of time. I'll do my best to be as brief as possible. I want to direct your attention to Proverbs chapter 16, verses 5 through 19. When you're there, just say amen. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his works. In an abomination, it is abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to go to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. If you would please remain standing, place your Bibles beside you this morning, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have today. Thank you for this great crowd. Lord, we thank you right now that your anointed word is upon our lips and in our hearts, and I pray now, as you anoint me to speak and to teach, I pray that our hearts would be open and to receive the word of God, that the truth would resonate in our soul, that we would be converted to the will of God today, that your power would be demonstrated in this place before we leave. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Could you clap one more time all over this sanctuary? Could you bless the name of Jesus? You may be seated. God is against pride and always resists it, but he loves humility and blesses humility. I want to speak to you today on the simple subject entitled Fathers Clothed with Humility. Fathers Clothed with Humility. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That pretty much says it all about pride. Sam Walton built one of the largest retail enterprises in America, called Walmart. At his death, he left a network of almost 2,000 stores, employing 380,000 people. In 1998, Time included him in the 100 most influential people in America. In 1992, he received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President George H.W. Bush. In spite of his enormous wealth and outstanding success, Walton drove a 1979 Ford F-150 pickup truck with dents, rust, and even old Roy's teeth marks on the steering wheel. He was an unassuming man who refused to flaunt his wealth. His lifestyle stands in stark contrast to people who live beyond their means and carry enormous debt in order to impress others. Humility or meekness can be defined as strength under control. Jesus is the best example of humility. He was the Messiah, God in human form, yet he gave himself willingly to the executioners. At his arrest, Peter attempted to defend him, but Jesus refused defense and stated in Matthew chapter 26 and 53, "Thinkest thou not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" Sometimes in life we may be privileged to hold a position of power over others. This power provides opportunity to take vengeance and punish those who have offended us in some way. Being humble will keep that power under control. Today, speaking of humility, it is humility that God desires to develop in each person. If we're truly going to be saved and to continue on this born again experience, we must allow God to develop humility in our lives. God is looking for people. He is looking for fathers that are clothed with humility. In the Word of the Lord, we find that this lesson is taught over and over again. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 3, "And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me." Now, from this scripture, we can learn a few things. First of all, we already know that Pharaoh was an ungodly man. He was a heathen. We also know that a lack of humility, from learning from this verse, we can see that a lack of humility is associated with ungodliness. This verse establishes that foundation. We can also see that a lack of humility will not only hinder us from serving the Lord, but our lack of humility can hinder others from serving the Lord as well. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no." Here we can see that the children of Israel had a problem with humility. The principles of God never change if a lack of humility caused the children of Israel to make bad choices. The principles of God never change. If it caused them to make bad choices and refuse the promises of God, then it will do the same to us. We must realize that we're not going to be able to serve God and have pride in our heart at the same time. A lack of humility will cause us to miss the will of God. A lack of humility will cause us to miss the promises of God. If God let the children of Israel walk in the wilderness because of a lack of humility, then we too could find ourselves in spiritual wilderness because of pride also. Now today, looking at these verses, I am trying to get us to understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he allowed pride to do this to his children in the wilderness, the children of Israel, then the same principle will allow pride to do this to us. Pride will cause us to wander outside of the will of God. Pride will leave us in wilderness experiences. Pride will cause us to allow the promises of God to pass us by. In Proverbs 29 and 23, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." In this verse, we learn that a man's pride will control his spiritual altitude. Everybody say altitude. We can also see that God honors the humble in spirit, and he lifts the humble up. Now, in James 4 and 10, the word of God says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. In 1 Peter 5 and 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If we hold on to humility and we let pride leave us and we cast pride out of our heart and we reach forth and pull humility to us, then it's only a matter of time before God will exalt us. Everyone wants to be lifted up. Everyone wants a higher elevation, but pride will cause us to lose altitude with God. Our spiritual altitude will always begin to descend as we take on the attitude or personality of pride. But as we humble ourselves before God, he will reach and lift us up with his own hand. And in the humility, God will allow us to gain spiritual altitude with him. Now, people who do not have faith think they have to do it themselves. So they become pride. That very spirit causes them to become prideful. And so they lift their own selves up. But it is a perverted spirit. It's a lying spirit. And pride is actually turns you upside down. And as you think you're climbing higher, you're actually digging deeper. And so people who consume themselves with pride and exalt their own selves, they're actually going lower and lower and lower. And people who humble themselves before the Lord is actually rising higher and higher. In Matthew 18 and 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In this verse, we can see that humility is equated with greatness with God. Anybody want to be great? If you want to be great with God, then you've got to be humble before God. This lesson focuses on pride and its opposite of humility, demonstrating the blessing of being clothed with true humility. Pride, Lucifer's downfall, is possible the oldest known sin that we can find. God created Lucifer to be the most beautiful and excellent of all the angels, but tragically, he began to think of himself as being more important than he actually was. Pride deluded him and he fell victim of his own deceit. Isaiah 14, 12 through 15 describes Lucifer's pride as leading to his banishment from God's presence. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now, as Satan or Lucifer in heaven, he was Lucifer in heaven, and as Lucifer looked at himself, he looked at all the beauty and all the perfection that God bestowed upon him. And he began to think that it was his own doings. As God blesses us, as God blesses our home, our children, our finances, as he blesses our health, as he blesses every attribute or aspect of our life, we can begin to believe that it is of our own doing. And as we begin to accept it as our own ability accomplishing these things, it is pride that is taking root. And it begins to set us apart from God. We should look at the blessings of God in our life and all the things that God has given to us, whether it's good looks or health or money or all of them. It doesn't matter what it is. It should humble us, and we should look at the Lord and say, "Thank you, for without you I would be nothing." Lucifer forgot that it was God that created him. Lucifer forgot that it was God that made him. Lucifer forgot that it was God that put all the beauty upon him. He forgot all that. Pride caused him to forget who he really is. He would be nothing without God. Pride gave him amnesia. And he forgot that it was God that should get the glory for all the beautiful stones in his chest and all the beautiful light that was emanating from him. Those stones didn't make light. The light of God, the glory in heaven shining, was infracting, was coming off of those stones. Without the light and the glory of God, those stones sent off nothing. They've gone dark now. But because of the exposure of God in the presence of those stones, they made something beautiful to look at. And he began to think it was his own doing. I want you to realize today that you and I are nothing without God. It is his mercies that made us who we are. It is his love and his desire to fellowship with us that makes us who we are. And so you and I need to realize that in order for us to have a greater fellowship, in order for us to come into the fullness of who God wants us to be, we're going to have to lay down pride and clothe ourselves with humility. If we want to climb the ladder, so to speak, in the kingdom of God, we've got to get rid of pride and we've got to pull to ourselves humility. Now, Satan erred when he began wrongly taking credit for qualities that God had created in him. The fact that pride is based on lies. Now, this is probably real strong for some people. But I've got to teach this. I've got to show you that pride is based on a lie. Now, the fact that pride is based on lies and self-deception points out the reason God detests it. When we allow pride to come in, it's because we have allowed the spirit of pride to come in. And the spirit of pride is a lying spirit. It's a deceiving spirit. He told the Pharisees that their father, the devil, was the father of all lies. So the very deception of pride belongs to Satan. So it's no way, now this is real strong, buckle your seatbelts, get your band-aids out and put them on your toes. But there's no way for us to operate in pride and not have an aspect of satanic works in our life. See, a lot of people realize or feel like they can kind of dabble with it and fool with it, but you're messing with something that is spiritually deadly. It's deadly. God is truth, and in him there is no deception or falsehood. So when we begin to let pride in, we have let deception and falsehood in. And it's not of him. And he does not want that in our lives. He literally hates lying because it goes against his truthful nature. You see, God is truth. In John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word that I'm teaching you today is of the nature of God. We've got to realize that when we begin to speak words that are influenced by pride, then all of a sudden we begin to speak words that are not of God. So now our vocabulary becomes ungodly. You see, we can't let pride in without it becoming like a cancer, and it begins to affect every area of our life. And then we don't look like God at all. After pride has done its work, we'll look like the world. It's impossible to allow pride to be loose in our life and still talk godly, look godly, treat our brothers and sisters in a godly manner. It's impossible to let pride in and still be humble before the Lord. It won't work that way. When pride comes in, it's because we've started walking away from the Lord. True believers in Christ Jesus should reject human pride and instead clothe themselves in pure humility, recognizing their lowly nature and God's contrasting greatness. The study of world history reveals many who regarded themselves as superior to others. One of the most worst examples is that of Nazi Germany, where Hitler taught his people they were a superior race. The Germans believed all other people were inferior to them. This evil regime either treated other races as slaves, or they disposed of them completely. Fanatical Nazi pride led them to mistreat, enslave, and murder millions of Jews, Russians, Gypsies of various kinds, and Slavic people, and the list could go a little further. But because of their arrogant perspective and belief system, it caused them to become a murderous people. It come to their failure. It weakened them instead of strengthening them. So if we would become more humble and love each other and become of one mind and one accord in the eyes of God, we become strengthened and we become stronger instead of weaker. Pride and arrogancy will divide us. It will break us up. We won't be unified in the power of God. Therefore, in the disunity, God will leave. But in the unity, that God will dwell. Is everybody okay this morning? Now, some are proud of their talents. They're proud of their looks. They're proud of their intelligence. They're proud of their abilities, possessions, and other things in life. Others are proud of their various things. The list could just continue to go on. But these things are going to pass away. They're not going to stay. They're going to burn up in the end time. They're going to, the rust will get it. The moths will get it. Something's going to happen, and the materialistic dimensions that make us prideful is going to leave. And then what are we going to be left with? We must be people that are wise now to reach and get a hold to the humility of God and live in the humility of the Lord now. And we'll never have to suffer the loss of these things. You see, a lot of people, when they lose all these things, I don't want to tell you the story, but I got called to a house one day, and he was a multi-millionaire, and he rode around in his airplane like you might ride around in your car. And I'm not talking about some little thing that go wee, wee, wee. Well, I'm talking about something with three engines on it, and three jet engines, and it was 106 feet long. This man was a multi-millionaire. He lived in a fine home. But one day I got called to sit on his couch while he was holding a pistol to his head. He had come to the place in his life where money meant nothing. Jet airplanes meant nothing. Property. You could drive 60 miles an hour for 20 minutes and never cross his property. You could go anywhere in the city of Alexandria, mention his name, and they'll say, "Oh, that's old money." We need to realize that all of this influence and all of this property and all of these gains of the world This man is an example of how one day you'll realize that it's just not what you thought it was. It will leave you stranded. And all of that pride and all of that stuff, now he's sitting bankrupt, basically. Now, he's still got the money. He's still got all that stuff. I'm talking about spiritually. He come to a place in his life where the money just didn't mean what it should have meant. You know, you and I might take days or a year to actually purchase a car and all this stuff, but he just got on the phone and he called around and he would say every dealership would just drive a car over to his house. And he would line them up, look at them, and just pat that one on the hood. He said, okay, leave that one. Y'all take the rest back with you. He just didn't care about these things. They weren't important. He could have bought 100 of them in one day. These things just wasn't no big deal to him. It wasn't a big ticket item. You're just staring at me like a calf with a new gate. But with all of that ability, with every bit of that, he's sitting on a $10,000 leather couch with a 9mm pistol pointed at his temple. And I'm teaching him a Bible study. You got that? There's whiskey bottles laying on the floor. There's whiskey poured into that couch. There is some kind of vase that was about 9 feet tall that belonged to his great-great-grandmother, and he just put one of them bottles right through it. None of this stuff meant anything. There's parts and pieces of debris laying in the floor. Taking a lot of time in this lesson to draw the picture that as much as the world calls to us, and as much as the world tries to promise us, these temporary things, these materialistic things, is only nice for a time. But when it's all over and when it's all said and done, we are going to need a relationship with God. We're going to need that humility. We're going to need that humbleness before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In 2015, it is time for a people to realize that the time is very short. And it's time that we cast away some things that's been besetting us and hindering our walk with God. And it's time to reach forth and grab and pull to us the things that's going to please the Lord. In Proverbs 16:5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. How then do you think we're going to make it through the gates of heaven if we have pride in our heart? Because it is an abomination unto God. How are we going to walk through the gates of pearl? How are we going to walk on the streets of gold? How are we going to rub our hand along the walls of jasper if we have an abomination in our heart? Fathers, one of the best things we can do is to show our children the humility. Now, the world teaches you that humbleness is weakness. If they're so strong, why can't they walk down the aisle and bow at that altar and lift up both hands and praise the Lord? It's because they're weak. Pride is too weak to serve God. But humility is strong enough to stand before the Lord and speak truth. That He is great and I am nothing. It's quiet in here this morning. Bless your hearts. God hates pride because it is based on the lie that one person can actually be superior to another. Now, when God made Adam, He just reached and got him some dirt, formed it in the image of God, breathed in that dirt pile, and he became a living soul. Now, to believe that one of us is better than another person is to believe that God used a different dirt pile to make us. But we came from the same pile of dirt. And it took that breath of God to awaken us. Without the breath of God, we'd still be dirt. But it's God breathing in our life that makes us alive. Am I getting somewhere with this class today? It's the breath of God that makes us alive. So when we step away from the breath of God and we want to live in arrogance and pride, our little propeller quits turning and we start descending. But when we live in the presence of God and we allow the breath of God to breathe in our life every day, that takes humility to allow God to speak in our life and to govern our life and to control our life. It takes a humility to say, God, what is your will for my existence? When we have that exposure to God and He breathes upon us every day, then we're climbing. Our altimeter is steadily moving. And we're climbing to greater heights and greater things with God. Although God hates the sin of pride, He continues to love the sinner. A lot of people get confused. Grace is extremely dangerous. A lot of preachers teach their churches to look at grace as some kind of cuddly teddy bear and you can do whatever you want to with it and it's fine. But grace is more dangerous than the law. Grace is more dangerous than the law of Moses. See, the law of Moses allowed you to see right over there a heap of rocks. And under that heap of rocks is old Joe. You come along and there's another heap of rocks right over there. And there's Bill under there. And you keep going on along. You go into the market and you look around. And your dad say, or your son say, what's that, Daddy? You say, well, that's a fellow. I remember him. You had reminders all over the place of where people were stoned because they broke the law of Moses. But in grace, you don't see none of them things. And in grace, you fail God, and you don't see any kind of immediate anything happening. Because He gives you a span to repent. He gives you a span to get it right. Grace is extremely dangerous because you don't really see any repercussions immediately. You begin to take advantage of that goodness and that mercy, and you get sloppy. We okay? And we lose the fear of God. Now, if you tripped over a few heaps of rocks before you got to your car, and then you drove over a few of them before you got home, you'd be constantly reminded that we can't be fooling around. We got to get this straight. But because grace has removed those heaps of rocks, and you can't see them, and you're not constantly reminded, we lose sight of the judgment of God. But let me remind you that the judgment of God is real, and it's going to happen. And when we allow pride in our life, you've got to remind yourself that you're losing altitude. And you've got to remind yourself, you've got to discipline yourself to say, you know what, this is not the way to God. Pride is not going to get me to where I need to go. Pride goes before destruction. Pride goes before a fall. When pride is in my heart, I'm losing altitude. I'm falling into a pit. But if I'll humble myself and pray, then the mercy of God will exalt me. I am hurrying this morning, but we've got to understand today that we're going to have to pull some strings of our own. God's not going to stand there with a hammer, and people aren't going to gather around and just stone us and remind us constantly how to live. But we're going to have to grab our own necktie, pull our own self up to the mirror, and say, oh boy, you're not going to get me in trouble with God today. Dads, we got to clothe ourselves in humility. Isaiah 2:11. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. What we don't understand is psychology. When Satan, Lucifer, become proudful, he had to trade his name in. Don't call him Lucifer anymore. He becomes Satan. He become the devil. He's no longer Lucifer. Lucifer was the name that he was given when he was in a state of perfectness. But he lost that. And now he's just the devil. He's Satan. Now, when we let pride is what caused Lucifer to become the devil. Now, if pride could make Lucifer the devil, then what will pride do to us? Pride caused the devil to exalt himself and lift him up before the Lord. And the Lord knocked him down. Isaiah said, I saw him like lightning fall. That's how fast God knocked him down. Now, in the last day, only the Lord will be exalted. And if the trumpet, if we die right now, then we're in judgment. If the trumpet sounds right now, then we're in judgment. And every man, every person that is caught in that moment with pride, then they're in a state of loftiness and they will be brought low. In other words, the judgment of God, the sword's going to swing like that. And all that's living in humility will be under it. But all that's trying to exalt themselves to be like God will be caught by it. Only God can be lifted up, and only God can be exalted. And when we begin to do that ourselves, then we are doing what Satan did, or Lucifer did, when he was in heaven. Are we getting that principle? So pride is not our friend. Please don't play with that, and don't mess with it. But you will have to confront it in your flesh, because your flesh wants to lift itself up. You will have to confront it. And you're going to have to bring it to the altar and repent and cast it down and shove it under the blood of Jesus and reach for the power of God to walk in humility. Anybody can walk in pride, but only those who are walking in the power of the Holy Ghost can walk in humility. An alcoholic can be prideful. A drug addict can be prideful. A bad mother can be prideful. A bad father can be prideful. Anybody out there can be prideful. A tyrant can be prideful. But only a man or a woman who is full of the Holy Ghost, only a man or a woman who is full of the power of God can be humble before God. Finishing this morning, we need to understand that these things that we may have grown so accustomed to is something that is so dangerous. It's more deadly than a king cobra. A king cobra will bite you and kill your body, but his venom has no control over where your soul will spend eternity. But pride, when it bites you, it will not only destroy your physical life, but it will also destroy your soul. Today, let's understand, on this Father's Day, I am trying to speak to fathers in your home. Allow your children, allow your wife, allow the people around you to see a man, a strong man, a right man, to see that man make judgments of God that are godly judgments and humble himself before the will of God and the way of God, and you will be amazed at the power of your lifestyle that has upon your family. You will ward off things that's coming your way into your home and into your marriage and into your children and into your finances and challenges that's coming your way. But just by being humble before the Lord will go ahead of you and head that off. But when we're prideful, you remember the children of Israel. They had to walk in the wilderness because they were prideful. And because of their pride, they got to the threshold of the promised land and pride couldn't go in. Again, I'm taking up precious time. But the devil that is on us, demonic spirits that's talking in our ears, can never enter into the promises of God, and they know it. They know that they cannot go in. And because that spirit was in the ears of the Israelites, they did not go into the promised land because they listened to the spirits of pride. And if you listen to the voices of the devil, you will stay out of the promises of God, and you will live in the wilderness area, and they will constantly feed on you day after day after day after day after day after day. Parasites just eating on you. Eating on your mind, eating on your life, eating on your family, eating on everything you got. And when you stand before that open door of God, and the Lord's saying, you come in, He's calling your name. He's not calling the names of the enemy. He's calling only your name. And those spirits begin to get in your head and convince you to say no to the promises of God. There is a call right now in this service, in the next few minutes. There's a call on your life. God is beckoning every man, every woman, every person to step out of the dimensions of flesh and to step out of the things that has been keeping you out of the promises of God. And there's voices that's standing on your shoulder. There's spirits of the world and spirits of darkness that's standing on your shoulder, whispering in your ears, trying to keep you out of the promises of God. But humility, only humility is going to be able to walk to the altar. And only humility is going to be able to lift hands. And only humility is going to be able to say, I'm coming through that door. I'm going to walk in to the place that God has made available for me. But pride is going to stand out of the door and go home walking in the wilderness. I make an offering today to every person in this place as we stand to our feet and as we give attention to the voice of the Lord speaking in our hearts. I pray that in the next few minutes that every person under the sound of my voice, that every person here today could just spend a few minutes in the altar, could make just a few minutes and give unto the Lord and say, Lord, take the pride out of my heart and any dimensions of the world and any dimensions of flesh, let it come out of my spirit, come out of my soul. Oh God, I pray that I would clothe myself in humility before I leave this place. And as the days come and as the weeks come, that I could continually walk in the power of humility. I know it's Father's Day and we have many things planned after the service, but I wonder if we could just take a few minutes and step out of the altar. The last 30 minutes, I have tried to speak to us on the subject of fathers clothed with humility. Have not been able to cover it, but I hope I've said enough to realize that pride's not going to get us anywhere. Arrogance before God's not going to get us anywhere. And if we want the hand of God to help us, all we need to do is humble ourselves before the Lord. The altars are open this morning. I wonder if you would come. Would you step out? Would you make your way to the altar? Would you say yes to Jesus today? Would you allow the Lord to speak? I wish every dad would be in this altar today. I wish every father would be making himself available to God. I wish everyone would be in this altar with hands lifted, with hearts raised, saying, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Jesus. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. As they sing, could you pray just a few minutes and allow God to work in your heart? Repent of things. Repent of things that are not of God. And allow the humility of the Lord to take its place.
Lord, here I am. I give all myself to you. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Let your spirit give all myself to you. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your Spirit move through me. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I surrender all.
I give all myself to
we stand this morning all over this place and just lift our hands a few minutes. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for these great people. These people that have come to this service today. Lord, I know it's Father's Day and it's a kind of a festive time. But I pray now, Lord, that somehow that all of our minds and hearts would be sobered by your love and sobered by your long-suffering and sobered by the time that you've given us to make sure that we stand holy and unblameable before you. God, I pray somehow that even though that we're thankful for all the things that you've done, that instead of becoming lifted up about it, that we would be humbled by it. Lord, somehow I plead the blood of Jesus on all these families. I ask you to watch over them and keep them safe. Lord, I pray now as we are closing this service, I pray that the remainder portion of this day, we could, as we are thankful for all the things you've done, that we could pause a moment and reflect that you didn't have to, but you did. And we are what we are, whatever good it is, because of your mercy and your grace. And we thank you. We thank you for all of your goodness and all of your grace. Ask your hand to be up on us as we leave. And I pray, Lord, that we would return at 5:30, Lord, with a readied heart, a heart ready to have church, a heart ready to have revival, and that we would fill these prayer rooms up and pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You're dismissed in the fear of the Lord. Shake hands and be friendly, and let all of our guests know that we love them so much.